నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. సో we were discussing yesterday the what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as sthita prajnatvam. Sthita prajnatvam means one who is prajna is steady. Prajna means the we mentioned before what prajna means, isn't it? Prajna means that the how your consciousness is steady, which is means there is no more disturbances in the mind anymore. It's always in a steady state. Sthita prajnasyam. Sthita prajnatvam is a very special thing. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see that in the very end Krishna talks about this sthita prajnatvam. And Arjuna asked the question, sthita prajnasya ga bhasha samadhisthasya keshava sthita di kim prabhashena kim asida prajeta kim. That when Krishna spoke about this sthita prajnatvam, which we discussed yesterday, the example of King Janaka, that the two levels, one thing when we withdraw from material life, when we are fixed on the soul, on the true nature of our identity as a spirit soul, then the we are not controlled, our attention is not anymore in the material life, it's completely focused on the spiritual identity. But the difficulty is, when we are fixed on the spiritual truth, when we have to come to the material activity, our mind gets, we move away from the truth. We find that difficult to be focused there at that time. So, in King Janaka's state, it was such that because even though when his mind was pulled into the material world, when he had to act in the material world, it was so strongly anchored to the soul. Strongly anchored to the soul. So this is the very advanced state of King Janaka, that he has not seen anything, as he mentioned there, that even among the middle of the assembly as a king, he was still living as though he was in a deep forest. So that experience of King Janaka is important to understand. So that's what sthita prajnatvam means. Sthita prajnasya ga bhasha samadhisthasya keshava. That this is the final state Krishna wants people to come to. That this sthita prajnatvam. And there Sri Bhagavan Vajam, first thing, we were now talking about, I'll come back to this later, that the verse 54 is where Arjuna asked this question. Verse 54. Arjuna asked, Arjuna Vaja, Sthita Pratyasya Bhasha Samadhisthasya Keshava Sthita Dhikim Prabhasheda Kimasida Vrajeda Kim. This question came up from Arjuna. Arjuna said, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? These questions came from Arjuna. And Krishna starts replying from then onwards, from the 55 onwards. But if you remember, when we discussed Vyavasayalpamiya Buddhi, we talked about that. You remember? Vyavasayalpamiya Buddhi. Vyavasayalpamiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. Krishna says to Arjuna that his mind is fixed. It is that Vyavasayalpamiya Buddhi eventually leads to Sthita Prajnatvam. Eventually leads from Vyavasayalpamiya Buddhi, it comes to Sthita Prajnatvam later. That is the way it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So, what has happened is that after Krishna spoke about Vyasayatmiya Buddhi Egeha Kurinandana, that was verse number 41, is it? No.
Yeah,
41. 41, yeah. Vyasayatmiya Buddhi Egeha Kurinandana, Bahushaga Hyanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. He said that those who are on the path of a resolute in purpose and their aim is one, beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Krishna says there, isn't it? So, immediately after that verse, there are few verses, verses 42 and 43 and 44. One who does not have a Vyasayatmiya Buddhi, what happens to them? That's verse 42, 43 and 44. So let's go through that first. Verse 42. I'll just recite the verse, you can repeat that. Yami mam pushpidam vacham.
Yami mam pushpidam vacham.
Pravadandi avipaschidam.
Pravadandi avipaschidam.
Veda vadaradha
partham.
Nanyad asti divadinam. Kamatmana
surgaparam.
Janma karma phalapradam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. Boga ishwarya gadim prati. Once again. Yami mam pushpidam vacham. Pravadandi avipaschida. Veda vadarada partham. Nanyadasti divadina. Kamalmana surga param. Janma karma bhala pradam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. Boga ishwarya gadim prati. Translation. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So, here, one thing to understand is that why so much spoken about Vedic sacrifices. That's what the reference is to. In Vedas, a major part of the Vedas is known as Karmagandam. Isn't it? Karmagandam is a major part of the Vedas. Particularly, all the mantras that's been spoken. Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad. These are the four divisions in the Vedas. Mantram, Aranyakam, Brahmanam, Upanishad. So, Mantram is for Brahmachari, Brahmanam is for the Grihastha, Aranyakam is for Vanaprastha, Upanishad is for Sannyasis. This is a general way it is related to. So, here you will see that Mantram and Brahmanam, Brahmachari stage you learn the Vedas and they are utilized in the householder life as Brahmanam. While performing the sacrifices. So, obviously, at that time, majority of the people who were involved in the sacrifices in the name of Vedas. Vedic sacrifices were very prevalent at that time. And not only the kings, great personalities performed a lot of sacrifices. You can see while studying Bhagavadam and also Mahabharatam and all, you will see how so many sacrifices were performed. Ashwamedham, Vajapayam, Agnishtomam, Adhiratram. There's so many of them, which all requires large amount of time and energy to organize those things. So, Krishna was that was basically meant to perform as a karma yogam. These sacrifices are meant to be supposed to be performed as karma yogam. What does karma yoga means? If you execute these sacrifices, the result will that you will get purified. You will get purified. But there is a word called karmatham. Karmatham means one who get attracted to this karma too much, this karma yoga. In the sense that this executing this karma offers a great happiness later in the heavenly planets. That is the result of these activities, this performing sacrifices. You will see the most of the kings were driven by that. In the Bhagavatam, there is a story of Prajina Barhis. Prajina Barhis was well known for this. He used to perform so many sacrifices, and it became a sort of a obsession with him that Srinarada Maharshi had to go eventually and get him out of this obsession, what he had with sacrifices. So he was called a karmathan. Karmatha means one who gets so absorbed in karmam, like that. The intelligent persons, or who had gone beyond than that, they know the purpose of the Vedas is not simply to perform sacrifices and to get this result in the heavenly planets. So that kind of, if those sacrifices are executed for without any expectation of results, simply as an offering to the Supreme Lord, they will purify us. This is the Karma Yoga in the Vedas. This is the Karma Yoga in the Vedas. But Karma Yoga here in the Bhagavad Gita is slightly different. I don't know whether you remember this. We discussed this when we discussed Bhagavad Gita. Karma Yoga in the Vedas and Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita is different. Karma Yoga in the Vedas spoke about the sacrifices, which were the practice system in those days, performing sacrifices. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he changed that. That is, Krishna's decision. We can't say why, because Krishna saw the changes happening. And Krishna's point was that nobody is going to perform these sacrifices in the future, because it's impossible for the society today to execute those sacrifices for the reasons which I mentioned before. Reasons was, first is dravyam, the pure materials required, ingredients required for that. There's nothing pure in this world today. There's nothing is pure. Everything is contaminated. So the purity of the ingredients have completely lost. Purity of the ingredients completely lost. Even the very basic thing called water is not pure, isn't it? What we call pure today is not pure from the Vedic point of view. It's all completely contaminated with chlorine and all other things. So it's not pure. Nothing is pure. Bottled water is not pure. Once you collected it and bottled it, it's gone. Purity is gone. So it may be okay for the body, but for sacrifices, it's not pure. So which shows that even deity worship is practically difficult with the right quality of materials, what's necessary. Secondly, you require qualified people to do that, which is also a big problem today in this world, mainly because they don't have the austerity and penances and tapas in their life. Themselves, they didn't have it. Due to various reasons, they got involved in material life, and although they may chant the mantras may not be powerful enough to get the desired result from that. So qualification is also another thing. So dravyam and also the tapas, or the people who are performing these sacrifices, this is also a problem. So overall, all this is a problem in this age. So that is why Krishna gave us a beautiful way of getting rid of this problem. That is, Krishna says that whatever executes, what is matters there is, when we karmam is one of the most, I would say, complex and a subtle phenomenon which is discussed in the Vedas, discussed in all Vedic literature particularly, and although jnanam is superior to karmam, knowledge is superior to karmam, unless we get out of this karmic nature from us, how karma brings problems to us, how to free ourselves from karma, if we don't understand this, then the higher knowledge will not have that effect on us. It will not have the influence on us. So that's why in the Bhagavad Gita you will see the first 6 chapters is all about karma, karma, karma. Krishna discusses this in depth and tells us the solution. And Krishna himself says it is one of the most complex things in the in this world, this thing called karma. We don't understand it. Only when you think about it in the light of Bhagavad Gita, you will see how different the whole our understanding of karma is. How different it is from Krishna's way of explaining it. So Krishna says there that this karma which is binding us, karma is the cause of bondage, isn't it? Which we will see when we discuss Karma Sutram. There are four sutras relating to karma. Will come later. So, it's one of the most misunderstood words in the Bhagavad Gita. This particular verse, Karma Sutrams. So, Yāyimāṁ puṣpidāṁ loke, puṣpidāṁ vājāṁ pravadanti avipaschidāṁ vedavādhrada pārtha nānyayasthīdi tāñcana. That Krishna is saying here that the mind or the intelligence of their intelligence, because of their concentration on the executing the karma, and Jnani's intelligence, because their intelligence is absorbed in the tattvam. So, two ways they go, Jnanam and karma. These are the two things in the Vedas mainly, karma and Jnanam. You will see later that I think it is in the fourth chapter, if you'll see later. There is a verse there which says, that Krishna says there that if you look at the beginning, that in Karmam Bhagavan Vacham, the fourth chapter, first verse. Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vaivasvan manave praha mani rikshaguve bravil evam parambara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakale nehamahada yogo nashta parantapa. So, in the past, there were grihasthas, Kshatriyas were all grihasthas, weren't they? All the Kshatriyas were grihasthas. And Krishna instructed this to a grihastha, to Vaivasvan and then Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku. It is that how this tradition came about. And Krishna says there, that yoga system has been lost in due course. That yoga system has been lost in due course. So, it was instructed to householder, samsarigas, it says here, that the evam parambara praptam evam rajarshayo vidu. All rajarshis were householders. It is to householders this knowledge was spoken first. And later on, you can see in the, Krishna will say this, that in the ancient times, all the brahmanas were brahmanishtas. Brahmanas were brahmanishtas. And kshatriyas were karmanishtas. In other words, Brahmanas were absorbed in the higher knowledge of self-realization, and Kshatriyas were executing the karma, karmanishta. So karmanishta for Kshatriyas and Jnananishta for the Brahmanas. That was the system in the ancient times. But somehow or the other, Kshatriyas got involved in this, and it turned out to be a problem. Because religion never stays, spiritual life never stays in a particular position. It always requires correction. All throughout the history you will see this. If somebody comes and gives some pure understanding of spiritual life, as soon as he departs, it changes. It all gets changed. So same thing happened here also. That because of their involvement in karma, that they started arguing in the name of Vedas, that why? Because they have a lot of material desires in them, because of these desires. So they started saying, in due course of time, instead of going back to the spiritual world, that goal was lost, and rather they started thinking going to the heavenly planets to enjoy. So, ideally, the purpose of executing these Vedic sacrifices was to go back to the spiritual world. Vedai sarvani karmani abhala bharadaya, it says that without expectation of results you are supposed to perform these sacrifices, but that was lost. And they started thinking that by executing these sacrifices we can go to heavenly planets and enjoy there. So how you can see how the tendency among the people's mind changes with due course of time. So when that happens, once that happens, then this karma is not pure anymore. It won't have its results. In other words, you'll get bound by the reactions of like in any other karma. So when it is like that, it will be difficult for them to come out of avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means jagra svapna sushupti stage. You won't cross that stage. You will get caught up in this. So even if they execute these sacrifices, what will happen to those people is they will still get controlled by the modes of nature. They won't get released from that. So Krishna is saying here, Yam imam pushpidam vajam pravadandi avibhaschidaha veda vadarada partha nanyadastidi vadina and kamalmana surgavara janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahula bhoga ishwarya gatim prati. If you read those verses, you will see there that kamalmana, material desires inside to enjoy, surgavara and go to the heavenly planets, janma karma phalapradam, that this is purpose of taking birth and activities was only for getting to this stage. In other words, the goal has changed. Remember, we discussed about the goal. Goal is more important than what we do here. If the goal is right, the goal alone will take you in the right direction. But if the goal gets changed, everything goes. So in the Vedic philosophy, this is given so much importance, the goal. So the goal got shifted now. They started going to heavenly planets, became the more attractive option for them. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apakrata chetasam. Once the desires for enjoyment develops inside, then vyavasayatmiya buddhi samathau na vidhiyade. For such a person, for whom inside this bhogam aishwaryam, that means sense enjoyment and opulences, opulence and sense enjoyment goes together, isn't it? And if that takes away your taya apakrata chetasam means your consciousness is covered with that. Or if you become absolved in that way, samadhau na vidhiyade, he will never have the peace for vyavasayatmiya buddhi. Vyavasayatmiya buddhi will not happen in such a person. So we wonder always, isn't it, why can't I have this, why can't I have that in this life? Why can't I enjoy this? The reason is that Krishna also says there, in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see this later, that as long as the Vishaya Indriya Samgram, that means sense objects and senses, when they are in contact, mind is the one who gets disturbed. Kshubdha manaha, it says. Mind becomes kshubdham. Kshubdha means it becomes very disturbed. So, vyavasayalpiya buddhi will not be there in a person whose mind is attracted by material opulences or sense enjoyment. That is the most important thing. Bhoga Ishwarya prasaktanam taya apakrata chedasam vyavasayalpiya buddhi samatho na vidhiyade. It is not possible. So, then what happens that once you give importance to karmam in that way, only for executing them for your happiness, sensual enjoyment, then the whole purpose is defeated there itself. Whole purpose is defeated. So, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvandva Nitya Sattvastva Niryoga Kshema Almavan. So, in these verses, Krishna is indicating to us that the Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi can go in different ways. It can be lost. If you absorb in karmam, which if you execute with the purpose of sense enjoyment or going to heavenly planets, then you will not have the vyavasayalpiya buddhi required for realizing the truth. The self-realization won't happen in that way. That is the warning that's given in those three verses. 42, 43 and 44. Krishna says in those three verses that they will not, after they have fallen into this trap of executing sacrifices, they will lose the goal, and the result that will be that they will get attracted to the sense enjoyment. Bhoga Ishwarya Prasaktanam Thaya Abhagata Chedasam Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Samathau Navidhiyade. And Krishna says they don't even understand the purpose of Karma Yoga. Krishna's idea of Karma Yoga was that you can execute them, and the result, if it is offered with the purpose of getting out of this material, without, unattached to the results, if they are executed, then you may ask the question, why is it these sacrifices were created for this? Sacrifices were created for only one reason, that in the Vedas, all Vedic sacrifices, there is a goal behind it. The goal is this, that everything you should do in the under the umbrella of dharma. If you do like that, you won't do wrong things. For example, you can see in the society today, because there is no, society doesn't tell us what's allowed and what's not allowed. So anything you can do to make money, this has come, isn't it? This stage has happened in the society. There's so much sinful activities going on in this world in the name of in the duty and dharmam. It is actually adharmam that is going on. And that too, people who have come in that tradition, when they do that, it is worse. It's worse. Those who don't know about it, you can allow them, you can be excused. But those who know about it, when they engage in things which is completely against the principles what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, and who are supposed to be under the Vedic tradition, when they do that, that is worse. Because it's only, they are attracted by the Bhogam and Aishwaryam. This is the reason behind it. Bhogam and Aishwaryam. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam thaya abharta chedasam vyavasayatmiya buddhi. They will never get to the point, what is the goal of life. The goal has gone away, in other words, from them. So, this is the reason why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, vyavasayatmiya buddhi is important. Without that, you cannot make the progress in spiritual life. So, this thing, what was happening at the time when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, that in due course of time, we are moved away from all that. The Vedic sacrifices disappeared, and in this world, there's not many people who are following that path anymore. So, we have completely lost control of that. Practically, Vedic tradition has, in that way, is not existent anymore. You could say like that. But, people still will be working in this world. Work will never be stopped, isn't it? Karma is part of us, inborn. We have all come with vasanas inside. Naturally, we will engage in karma, whether we are told or not. So, Krishna brought this understanding, gave us this understanding, that whatever karma you are engaged in, doesn't matter, according to the vasanas, you are involved in that. But make it as karma yogam. At least make it as karma yogam. Let it be a karma yogam in that way. And then he kept discussing this in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th chapters, only about karma yogam. How to make that karmam, what we have to do in this world, as a yogam. So that is the karma yogam part of it. And because in human society, the nature for executing karmam is very, very strong. This is our first obstacle in our spiritual progress also. This thing called karmam. And if that is not taken, anyone who comes to spiritual life, at least for some time, he should engage in karma yogam. And that way, the vasanas will get somewhat released from inside, and then he gets qualified for bhakti or jnanam. For bhakti or jnanam, he gets prepared for that. But even that, we are finding it difficult to cross this hurdle of karma itself. Imagine our situation, what to talk about bhakti and jnanam. When it comes to karma itself, we are unable to offer that service or free from that bondage of karma. Why? Because we attach to the results. We want the results, and we are the doers and we are the enjoyers. Everything is involved. This is why anyone who comes to spiritual life, he has to for some time engage in this selfless service to this world. And that way, the attachment to the results will go, and also I am the doership will go away from that. This is the technique behind it. Technique means that's the principle behind it. And that's why Krishna says karma yogam. Krishna gave importance to karma yogam. And the reason, this is for the same reason that karma yogam is spoken in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita first, before anything else, jnanam, bhakti or anything. So in the second chapter also, Krishna discusses karma yogam now. He is slowly taking us to the third chapter, which is begin with karma yogam. So in the second chapter, he wanted to correct certain misunderstanding that karma yogam, if it is executed properly, it will not be a problem. If not, it can turn out to be like this. It will affect the vyavasayatmiya buddhi, in other words. So, we look at verse 45. Traigunya vishaya veda నిస్త్రైగుణ్యో భవార్జున నిర్ద్వందో నిత్యసత్వస్థో నిర్యోగక్షేమ ఆల్పవాన్ త్రైగుణ్య విషయా వేద నిస్త్రైగుణ్యో భవార్జున నిర్ద్వందో నిత్యసత్వస్థో నిర్యోగక్షేమ ఆల్పవాన్. Translation: The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, Arjuna, the transcendental, be transcendental to all of them, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So Krishna also mentions here, there's these three modes of material nature is what Karmagandam is. Karmagandam is under the modes of nature. Why? Because it talks about those world which is full of gunam. Guna means the three modes are present there, and the experiences there, and how to reach there. And all the sacrifices will discuss in depth about kalam, time, space, and the ingredients required, and how it should be executed, things like that. And that is a topic that is discussed in Karmakandam. But the jiva, the soul, conditioned soul, its goal is Krishna. His goal is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. But if you forget the goal, and if you just get absorbed in all this karma, and what benefit will he achieve from that? He will never be satisfied with these things. Already the jiva has got karma vasana inside. And karma vasana is full of three gunas, isn't it? Three modes of nature. So, it is important that in order that the vasanas has to go away from a person, he has to execute karma, otherwise there is no way. And only by executing karma, these vasanas will disappear from a person. In order to do that, he has to execute karma in such a way that the results do not bind him. Results do not bind him. So, that is why the Shruti, the Vedas have recommended karma yoga. The Vedas have recommended karma yoga. So, Krishna is also saying karma yoga's importance is the same thing. That the purpose of Karma Yoga has not changed in Vedas or in Krishna's instructions. Krishna says there that the execution of Karma Yoga will purify a person. You see, when we do any activity in this world, we think in our interest, isn't it? Our interest is more important than anything else. Aham mameti, me and mine interest. The Vedic sacrifices, when they chant the mantra, idam namama, idam namama. It's not mine, it's not mine. So to move away from this position to that situation, we have to follow through the process of Karma Yoga. That from me and mine, to go away to the process of it's not mine, it's not mine. To come to that state of consciousness, we have to, these are all very subtle things happening inside us. That unless we go through this process, that purification will not happen to us. And unless that purification happens, there's no question of becoming either a jnani or a bhakta in a higher level to develop that. So that is why Karma Yoga's importance stressed so much in the Bhagavad Gita. Karma Yoga is not to be, people have this misunderstanding that, oh, I am a devotee now, I am not bound by any of these rules. Yes, you have not reached that state of devotee that you are not bound by rules. You are still very much a part of this world. And you also have still karma vasana inside, left within you. And all misunderstanding that, oh, I passed on everything to my spiritual master, he's taking away everything. He handed over to him now. People have argued like this. This is all misunderstanding only. Karma, if it was so simple that you could put a fire sacrifice for 15 minutes and all your karma could be handed over to somebody else and somebody can take it away like that. You think Krishna was foolish, six chapters to spend in Bhagavad Gita to discuss this. They don't think like that. They hear something, somebody tells them like this, and then they keep repeating to others and argue about it. But sad thing is that if you look in Bhagavad Gita and start thinking through Bhagavad Gita, you will see that every verse and everything what Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, there is some subtle interaction with karma, jnanam, bhakti, all ultimately leading to surrendering to Krishna. The goal is surrendering to Krishna, to become completely absorbed in Krishna and to surrender to Krishna at the end. But that surrender won't happen overnight. It's a long, long haul before that, before what we have to do from our side. And Karma Yogam is that first thing what we have to follow to bring it into that state of consciousness. So here you can see that the Traigunya Vishayo Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, Krishna says even they are under the three modes of nature, which is mentioned in the Karma Gandam, and rise above that. In other words, unless you rise above the three modes of nature, the higher knowledge of bhakti or jnanam won't happen to a person. So, but karmam itself is not the goal. Karmam is, we have something, because there is vasanas inside, karma yogam is required. Because of the vasanas inside. Till the vasanas goes away, and vasana shunyam, it means another empty inside, you can see great personalities, how they work in this world, selflessly giving all the time for others' benefit. Not for their, they are free from ego, they are free from this misunderstanding, that, but still they are doing karmam in this world. Why? Because for them now, it's not their personal happiness anymore important. That because great personalities, when they see Krishna's living, all living entities are have relationship with Krishna, and they see Krishna's presence in those living entities, they give this happiness to others. They share their happiness of spiritual realization with others. That's all the great souls do. And they are not working anymore on the platform of selfishness. It's purely selfless mood they operate in this world. So, Karma Yogam, even if they have reached the higher state of jnanam or bhakti, still when they engage in activities in this world, you will see it will be selfless, without any selfish motive. It will not happen to them, because purification has happened to them by now. So, Nidvanda Nityasattvastho Niryoga Kshema Almavan. Krishna says he will be free from duality. Duality has gone away from people. Nitya Sattvastam and Niryoga Kshema Almavan. That Almavan, one who is looking for the truth, who is searching after the truth, Krishna is saying there, all anxieties of gain and safety and Niryoga Kshema Almavan, and be established in the self. So, these are the things what Krishna has spoken there at that point. Then, karmam is not the goal. The result of karmam is also not the goal. The goal is Krishna. That, therefore, the question will come that what is the need to stay as a karma yogi for some time? With the reason for that, that the in this body, when what we have got, what is known as prarabdham is there, isn't it? Prarabdha vasana has given this prarabdha shariram. Prarabdha body has come because of prarabdha vasana. That prarabdha vasana, which is unknown to us, the body is designed to fulfill those desires inside. That's how the body was given to us. This is the subtle side of our existence in this world. This particular form of body, in a particular shape, in particular male-female form, all has been given to us because of the particular vasanas we had inside. It's not that we just came here by chance. Nothing happened by chance. The subtle laws of Krishna's law work in this world all the time. And that subtle laws are like this, that the type of body and the place of birth, type of parentage, environment, everything is decided based on the vasanas what was inside. So, the obstacle here is this prarabdham is the main obstacle for us. So, prarabdham can only go when you experience it. Prarabdham you can't wipe off like that. Prarabdham, prarabdha karmam, that means it's already matured, isn't it? It's already fructified. The karmam has already fructified. Because it has fructified now, it has to be experienced. Before it gets fructified, something can be done about it. But once it is fructified and you have accepted a body, then nothing can be done. You have to go through that. This is the law. So, when you are experiencing that, prarabdha karmam, there will be more karma vasana will be generated. This is the difficulty. More karma vasana will be generated. So, what we have to do, that not allow new vasanas to develop and not allow them to grow inside, at least while enjoy experiencing this prarabdham in this world, one should live as a karma yogi. That it is only then that while experiencing this prarabdham, his karma will not grow. His karma will not grow. That is the reason that at least for some time, as long as possible, one should practice, execute this karma yoga. This is the reason we insist that under no circumstances in spiritual life and spiritual life and making a living out of it is not right. It is not proper from the spiritual point of view. It's not that everybody should live in this world. Nobody is questioning that point. But once you have taken the spiritual life and you see that you are want to make progress in the spiritual path, try to understand the subtle thing behind it. Why it is like this, that in spiritual life you don't engage it as a matter of livelihood. In other words, we have a right to live in this world. Everybody has a right to live in this world. But we should also be honest about it, that we don't mislead anyone on these issues. And spiritual leader will accept a situation where everything is done on a paid basis. It doesn't make any sense. Otherwise, you can go to any mission and see that it will not work. It will not happen. And if it's happening, it's wrong. So that's what I'd say. So the reason for that is, even while executing karma yogam, the goal is not karmam or the result. That's why it is called karma yogam, isn't it? Goal is not karmam or the result. Goal is Krishna. Krishna is the goal. But before that, this prarabdha vasana has to go away from inside, and therefore karma yogam has to be performed. So this is in the second chapter. Krishna is beginning an introduction to the third chapter, which is all about karma yogam. And there you will see the glories of karmam. Krishna will discuss, and he'll also say the difficulty in following while executing karma yogam, what kind of questions will come up, what is right and what's wrong. And at one point Krishna even says that nahi kaschil kshanam api jadu dushta tyagarmagaral, that even for a second you cannot stay without karma. Now when I say this thing, people think that, oh, even for a second I can't keep quiet. That's not what it means. No, that's not what it means. Nahi kaschil kshanam api jadi dushta tyagarmagaral. But the point is, karmam is a very complex subject. It's a very, very complex subject. And Krishna will say later, we will discuss that when you come to the next one after the next verse, karma nevadhigaraste, karma verse, we'll discuss that. But the important thing is that Krishna is saying there that the nahi kaschil kshanam api jadu dushta tyagarmagaral. And then he also says there, gahana karmano gadi. Nobody understands the way karma works in this world. Because it is a very complex subject. It is so complex. It's so difficult to understand the way karma operates in this world. And including the sun, the moon, all the planets, they are under the control of karma. Even they are under the control of karma. Imagine that, how powerful karma is. Isn't it? This is the beauty of Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy makes us realize there's nothing in this world happening without a law behind it. Yeah, this you will see from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. You can see nothing in this creation works without some law controlling that behind it. And it is because of this karma, the planets have to rotate in a particular path. They cannot move away from that. Even their movement is all fixed already in the same way. And Krishna will also say later, when you study the beautiful chapter of Karma Yoga, third chapter, you will see how controlled we are by Krishna's law. How strongly we are controlled. We say there is no God. Only you have to study the third chapter, you will see whether God exists or not. That question will not happen anymore. Because the person who has created such a cosmic manifestation, do you think he is less intelligent not to put this under a law? It cannot be. It has to be that there is some law controlling all these things. And once we understand the law, then we will be disciplined in our life. When we are not understanding the law, we do crazy things. But if we understand the law, Krishna says it will make us to realize the importance of Krishna's presence in everything in this world, without which nothing goes on. So what we were talking about was that that the purpose of Karma Yoga is not for, it's not, the goal is not to get the result or to perform the karma, but goal is Krishna. All these things is meant for self-realization, in other words. So, Yava Nartha Udapani, if you will read that verse also, 46. Yava Nartha Udapani,
Yama Nartha Udapani,
Sarvada Samplutodagi,
Sarvada Samplutodagi,
Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu,
Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu,
Brahmanasya Vijanata,
Brahmanasya Vijanata,
Yava Nartha Udapani,
Yama Nartha Udapani,
Sarvada
Samplutodagi,
Sarvada Samplutodagi, Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu,
Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu,
Brahmanasya Vijanata,
Brahmanasya Vijanata.
Translation: all purposes that are served by a small pond can at once be served by the great reservoirs of water. Similarly, all the purposes of Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. Again, a very mysterious verse, isn't it? You think about that. What does it mean? Yavan artha udapane sarvada sampradodagi tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanadam. That it's a very subtle verse. Subtle in the sense that, see, in the rainy season, suppose in the olden times, there was a house and there was a well somewhere from where you got the water. In the rainy season, the water will fill the well. And there will be water outside also everywhere. Eventually you won't be able to separate the water and from the well and water from the field which is surrounding the house, right? So when that situation happens, for getting water you don't have to the well anymore. You don't have to go to the well anymore. The water is right here in front of you. And the water in the well is already mixed with the water outside as well. So Krishna is saying here that when it is like that, you don't have to search for the truth separately. The truth is now present everywhere, pervading, like water everywhere. So one who has come to Vedic literature and studied it properly, he will know that the goal of is water. We need water. Similarly, realizing the self is the goal. And if it is allowable right here, that without getting attached to karma and the results of karma, you can have it. But you can't do it. Why? Your prarabdham and vasana is still there. That has not allowed you to take that knowledge. So, in the Upanishads, this knowledge, what is spoken, is all about the soul. There is nothing discussed about karma there in the Upanishads. Upanishads is that knowledge related to the knowledge of the self. So, before entering into a spiritual life, Krishna is saying here that try to understand what is the impediments in your progress in the path of spiritual life before you come to the point of self-realization. And there karma is the main obstacle. So Krishna's point is that if you understand this principle, that karma has to be released first from you in a person, and then you will find the essence, what is the final knowledge, the soul what we are looking for. So, when the water is present everywhere, then you are not too bothered about going to the well to get the water. Why? You don't think about it, because that water is also equally polluted with the same water what is outside. Then, but if there is no water everywhere, there's only water in the well, you will go to the well to get the water, isn't it? Similarly, when you have no knowledge of the soul, mind will be absorbed in the karma and the results of the karma which comes from that, and your attachment will go in that direction for karma results from the coming from the karma. Therefore, Krishna says, before you engage in karma, understand Bhagavad Gita properly, and then engage in karma. Because if you engage in karma without how to execute karma properly, that is a big danger. That is why we become completely uncontrolled. Then we go and do all sorts of things, isn't it? Because we don't understand the law of karma, how it binds us. Although it is very difficult to understand fully, at least we must have an understanding of basic things, relationship with what is allowed and what's not allowed. And that is the problem. This is the problem. That's why today in the modern society, because all this has been lost, our modern industries and modern way of life is pushing us to do such activities which were considered so abominable, and we have no difficulty now doing them anymore. This is the state of our life now, isn't it? And those people who are supposed to be the descendants of the Vedic tradition, they are finding it absolutely no difficulty in doing things which were forbidden from the Vedic point of view. You see? And that's the important thing. If you observe the world, you can see these things happening uncontrolled way. And therefore, for what purpose they are doing, they also don't know why they are doing it, because they all in the name of making a living in this world. So, Yamanartha Udapani Sarvada Sampludodage Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanada. When water is present everywhere, you don't have to be bothered about the well. Similarly, one who is knowledgeable about the things, then for him, once you come to that platform, then you don't have to worry about karma and more concerned about the presence of the attachment to the karma. But when you have no results, when you have no water, you will go to the well to get it. Similarly, when you have no knowledge of the self, because once you have the knowledge of the self, then you won't be bothered about all these things. These things are not important for you anymore, because you come to the right position. You're properly situated in the self. If that is there, then karma and karma yoga all has no meaning. That's what this verse is saying. That karma and karma yoga is only makes the importance is only because we have no knowledge of the self. But once the self-realization has happened, then all these things doesn't make any, does not have any more control on you, because you have reached that state already. So for you, there is water everywhere. You don't have to go to the well to get it. But once you don't have this knowledge, that means you have to go to the well to get it, and your attachment will be there to the well, for the water from the well. And do you get that subtlety in there? It is a way of presenting things in the Bhagavad Gita is like that. Some of the examples are very much from the village life. For city people, it's hard to relate with that. It's a difficulty there. Many examples Krishna gives like this, all related to the life in the village. The modern lifestyle is so different, so very hard for us to relate with that many ways. So if you simply understand this thinking, that Almajnanam or self-knowledge of the self, when that comes, then karmam, karma yogam won't cause any problem for you, because you're past that stage already. But still, who have reached that stage, they still perform karma yogam if they have to act in this world. That is also another thing. They are completely come under the discipline now, that no matter whatever they do, it will be a karma yogam. It will never be with any result for any desire for any result. So that is the main thing we have to understand from this. Then, so before executing karmam, Krishna says one should understand karma yogam properly before engaging in any karma. So that is the next verse, and it is a most important verse here, that what Krishna is going to say about karma. So, in the last verse you see there, that is the verse number Yavan Artha Udapani Sarvada Sampludodage Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanada. Vijanada means one who has already come to the complete knowledge, one who has got Brahmanasya Vijanata, he has come to that state, who knows the purpose behind the Vedas. So the next verse will go into that now.
कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते
मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भो मा ते सङ्गोऽस्त्वकर्मणि कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भो Mate Sangostva Karmani. Translation. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. A verse which has caused a lot of confusion in people's mind, isn't it? Lot of confusion in people's mind. And that is why this verse requires a lot of explanation also, because of this. That in India, particularly, a lot of people know this verse. Majority of people, at least this verse they know. And on the basis of this verse, they will say, Bhagavad Gita is not right. There's something wrong with Bhagavad Gita, they say. Why? If you look at the verse, it says, you have got right to work, but you have no expectation to get the results. If it is like that, I'm working in the office, I can't ask for my salary. If they give it to me, I'll take it. But if they don't give it to me, I should keep on working. They say like this. Isn't it? This question is important, because this is where misunderstanding comes about Bhagavad Gita. When you don't study a literature in depth, and when you don't think about it properly, if you pull out verses here and there and start questioning it, that is ignorance. That's not knowledge. Knowledge is, Bhagavad Gita is a literature, brings to you a philosophy or understanding of life from a much subtle level, from a very subtle level. And it has come from the absolute truth. Yeah? So, knowing very well, still taking, people are doing this, taking one verse here, one verse there. So many verses you will see in the Bhagavad Gita like this. People will say, they will take one verse and they will say, I got it now. Everything I have understood now. One of the verses is this Sarvadharman Paritya verse. They will take this verse and say, oh, Krishna, all Krishnas, there is nothing to read in Bhagavad Gita. The verse is there finally. This is the final conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. I got that. So I don't have to study the rest of it. So in the same way, this verse is also belonging to that category, where people just take this verse and simply think that there's something wrong with Bhagavad Gita, I can't practically apply this to my life. This is what the answer will be. Because I'm working, I've got my family to maintain, and I earn money, I have to earn money, and if I'm not smart enough, the company is not going to give me money. If I don't ask for it, only the crying baby will get the milk, they'll say. All their logic will come over that way. So why is this verse? That is why, but here, Krishna is not thinking in terms of a worker in the factory. That is not Krishna's consideration. Krishna is giving us some knowledge from a much higher level. Krishna is thinking of us as though we are here to realize the self. Krishna is not thinking about my livelihood in this world. That's not Krishna's concern at all. So you have to remember in which background this has been spoken. This has been spoken from that background, thinking about us, that we are supposed to be absorbed in self-realization. That's what is our duty here. You will see this in the Bhagavad Gita Bhagavad, that the goal of life is Atado Brahma Jitnyasa, going back to Krishna. It is on the basis of that, all these things are framed, put forward to us. So, Karmanyevadhi Adhigaraste Ma Bhaleshu Kadachana. First, these are four things mentioned in that verse. If you look at that verse, that they are known as Chatur Sutra, the four sutras of karma, related to karma. In the previous verses, we have seen also that I wanted to mention this, that Vedavadarada, there was a verse earlier, Krishna mentions this, in 42, 43, 44, that he mentions there, that instead of progressing to Upanishads, those people who got stuck in Karmakandam, they created the problem because they didn't go to the Upanishads part of it. Sometimes how things happen in this life, it's very difficult to say. In a society, you will see, there may be higher knowledge available, but the modes of nature will drive people in another direction. Isn't it? It happens. So, Vedavadharata, who are absorbed in the Vedic Karmakandam, they have forgotten the goal Upanishads, and they became very powerful in that. And when that became unbearable, their activities became unbearable, Lord Buddha appeared. This is how Lord Buddha came into the scene. Lord Buddha's appearance was purely because of this Vedavadharata, those people who engaged in Karmakandam in excess. And the result, and Karmakandam got degraded further and started killing animals without any consideration and all that. And that's when Buddha had to come and pull people out of Vedas completely. He had to drag them out from the Vedas because it was in the name of Vedas they were doing all these things. So Buddhism is, because they didn't accept the authority of the Vedas, although you will see, interesting thing is many things what Buddha says is exactly what is in the Vedas. But the way Buddha had done that was such that he pulled everyone out first from there and brought them, spoke about this non-violence, ahimsa and all was spoken. But again, when Buddha left, everything got degraded further, the same way it happened before. So, because if suppose, when they were in those karmathas or who were engaged in karmam, suppose they were taught Kathopanishad, maybe Lord Buddha didn't have to come. It's the other way also, you can think about it that way. Because the knowledge in the Kathopanishad is so high that people who had taken Kathopanishad seriously, Lord Buddha may not have to appear. But because Upanishad's knowledge was lost there, they got absorbed in the Karmakandam side of the Vedas, Buddha had to come. So correction always happens when it is necessary. It is all controlled from the top, not from here. So earlier Krishna said that these desires that has developed inside will be taken control by the by the Vedic sacrifices. Now, in this verse, Krishna is saying here that the four sutras. The first sutra is Karmani Va Adhigaraste. He says, you have got, Adhigara means you are allowed, in other words, to execute the karma. You are allowed to execute the karma. That's all. You are only allowed to execute the karma. Second verse is Ma Bhaleshu Kadachana. That means you have no, you are not allowed to have the results. You have no right to have the results. Number three, Ma Karma Bhalahe Durbho. The results coming from your karma is not based on your, you are not responsible for that. When the results of karma comes, it's not dependent on your activity alone. Yeah, it's not dependent on your activity alone. When we execute karma, we are thinking that it is due to my work or my effort, that it is dependent on that, the result, isn't it? That's how we execute karma in this world. That all of us, when we do something, we think, if I do it well, the result must come. When the results don't go well, we say that I didn't do the work properly. We think like that, isn't it? Very quickly in our mind, we come to this conclusion, that I didn't do the job right, or I did it wrong. That's why the results have come like this. Or, if the results come very well, we'll say, look me, how well I've done it. That's why it has come like this. So, Krishna is saying here, you are not responsible for the result. You are not responsible for the result. Then, what's the last one? So, that's the third one. Madho Sangho Stakarmani. That you cannot stay without executing karma. See how the whole thing is complex it is. Eh? That if you think that, okay, if it is all so problem, let me get out of it, don't do anything about it. Krishna says, no, you have to do the karma. Mm-hmm. So from all sides, you are controlled. So these four sutras, we must remember. We must remember and we must understand it also properly. Only then, and then after that, Krishna says, you can go and do your karma. it won't cause any problem after that. So that's why it is important for all of us who are engaged in karma in this world to understand this verse in depth as much as possible. And also think about it enough, and you will get a clearer picture in your own mind that this is the way karma should be executed in this world. Although we may not succeed in doing that all the time. That's another thing. But the principle is this. Karmanye te adhikaraste. You have got the... You are allowed to execute the karma. Ma bhaleshu kadachana. You are not allowed to have the result. You should not desire for the result. And you have no right for it. Ma karma bhalahe durbhur. For you are not the cause for your results of your action. And then, ma te sangostva karmani. That you cannot stay in this world without any karma. You have to continuously engage in karma. Four things are mentioned there, isn't it? Now, let's go with each of these sutram properly. They are called Chatursutrams in the karma. Chatursutram in the karma. Oh, sorry. What does karma means first? That's the first sutram. First sutram is, you have got right to do your karma. So, first we have to understand what karma means. Karma, from the Shastra point of view, is karma means chalanam. Chalanam means movement, isn't it? Karma begins not from outside. As soon as your mind started moving, karma has started there. Even before it has manifested in your world outside, as soon as some thought has developed inside, karma has started there itself. The karma has begun from inside. So, in a very, very subtle level, karma starts always. And there is a definition given in the commentaries. Ukshepanam avakshepam gamananja prasaranam akunchanam idi prahu karmam panchavidam buddhaha. That karma is considered in these five different ways. Ukshepanam avakshepam gamananja prasaranam akunchanam. What does that mean? Ukshepanam means to lift something. Avakshepa means to bring it down, something. And gamanancha prasaranam. Gamana means to go in one direction, and prasaranam means to extend it, whichever way you like, and agunjana means to compress it. So all karma will come under these five categories. If you look carefully, you have to think about everything. Every karma comes under this five category. Ukshepanam avakshepam gamanam cha prasaranam and akunchanam. So idi prahu karmam panchavita buddhaha. Karmam will come under this category. Say if you are writing something, it says ukshepanam avakshepam, up and down it goes, letters, isn't it? So there also you will see this thing. In every karmam, if you look, you will see that these five things are working in a very subtle level in our karma, in this world. So, the definition of karma is this verse. Utshepanam avakshepam gamananja prasaranam akunchanam. So, and by executing karma with these five things as the basis for that, what you can achieve from that is also mentioned. Ajyam Ulpadyam, Samskaryam, Vaikaryam. These are the four things that's possible in this world. We wonder how they managed to bring everything under these categories. And that is amazing thing, how the sages have seen these things in a much deeper level, everything. They looked at things. When we engage in this world, we are thinking, oh, there are so many activities in this world. When we come to our profession, we don't know which one to choose. Where is our taste? And we think that always there is new ideas people are developing. And so many new things comes in life. And we start thinking, especially when you look at the kind of industries and business, the more high technologies group and all that, you find where all these ideas have come from, isn't it? Somebody who is intelligent thought about this. All he has thought about it was to make money. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. So but karmam, all karmam falls in this category. Ukshepanam avakshepam gamananja prasaranam akunchanam idi prahu karmam panchavidasmada. Now, with these five different kinds of karmam, what you can achieve is ആജ്യം ഉൽപാദ്യം സംസ്കാരം വൈകാര്യം വിച്ച് മീൻസ് ആജ്യം മീൻസ് ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ ഐ എം ഹിയർ ഇഫ് ഐ ഹാവ് ടു ഗോ ടു ദ സിറ്റി ടു ദ ലണ്ടൻ ഐ ക്യാൻ ഗോ ഫ്രം ഹിയർ ടു ദയർ ഹിയർ ടു ദയർ മീൻസ് യു ക്യാൻ മൂവ് ഫ്രം വൺ പ്ലേസ് ടു അനദർ Then the second one is Utpadyam. Utpadyam means you can manufacture things. You can manufacture things. Then Samskaryam. Samskaryam means you can purify things. For example, you can purify the gold from its ore, isn't it? Iron from its ore, gold, iron. Purification process. Or you can extract crude oil and purify it and make... The purified from the crude oil, you have got petrol and other products. So everything comes under what is known as samskaryam. Those many of the industrial activities are nothing but samskaryam, if you think through it. And then the last one is vaigaryam. Vaigaryam means that you can turn from one thing to another. Let's like yogurt, so milk to yogurt. You can turn it. So change its form. So, you are allowed to have these four things. Four things are possible. Ajyam, Utpadyam, Samskaryam and Vaigaryam. So, this is the thing, basic law in karma. Basic law in karma. The five kinds of karma, what you can execute. That chalanam we spoke about karma. When it originates in the mind, it develops in these five different ways. And the results that come from that will come in these four different ways. Ukshepanam, Ajyam, Utpadyam, Samskaryam and Vaigaryam. Now, this definition is there for karma. It also says there, even if you execute karma, it is never going to be the cause of liberation. That also we have to be conscious of that. Chittasya Shuddhi, that means purification of one's consciousness, that is what you achieve through karma. Yeah? Not liberation. Liberation is not possible with karma alone. Chittasya Shuddhaye Karma Nadu Vastu Valabdhaye. You won't get the truth by executing karma. By executing karma, what you will get at the end is you will get purified inside. Vastu Siddhi Vijarena Na Kinjil Karma Kodibhi. Unless the knowledge comes in and start working, Na kinjil karma kodibi. Even crores and crores of karma you execute in this world, still the truth won't manifest inside in a person. So you can see that where the line is drawn between karma and jnanam. Karma will help you chitashuddhi. Purification inside will happen from karma. And once you are purified inside, then this jnanam, what Krishna is talking about, will become powerfully manifest inside a person. So, chittasya shuddhaye karmam, nadu vastu valabdhaye. Vastu, you won't get it. Vastu means the goal, the realization, you won't get it. But vastu siddhi vijarena, but you can get that after chitta shuddhi, after purification inside, nachakna kinjil karma kodibi. That karma kodibi. You see this, that these things, people who have not even studied Bhagavad Gita, at some point in life, they also start realizing that karma is not the goal. Take for example, you know all these big, very, very rich people, after made plenty of money, wealth in life, they started realizing that what is going to happen now, and they start building these new foundations, isn't it? Like we have got this Bill Gates Foundation, and people like Bill Clinton and all, they are starting foundations, isn't it? So a stage comes in life, even without studying, they have not studied Bhagavad Gita to understand this. But without studying Bhagavad Gita itself, from inside, they are getting this understanding that wealth is not ultimately the goal, because they also start seeing that death is waiting at the doorstep and nothing is going to change. So something inside is giving that understanding to them that the wealth should be utilized for a proper purpose. Otherwise, it's all waste what I have done in my life. This feeling is in a certain level working them. But because they don't have the knowledge from Bhagavad Gita about these things, they engage in such activities which will create more karma again for them. They are busy with treating the AIDS of the people and busy with all other kinds of things, isn't it? AIDS research, cancer research, all sorts of research work goes on, and foundation keeps on supplying money for that. But if you have understood, through Bhagavad Gita, if you have understood the implications of karma, then you will see that everyone is controlled by karma. And first of all, to go after money to make like that itself was a mad thing. To go to make so much money for without any, not knowing what to do with it. Because it brings more problems to you later when you make too much money. We think that, oh, money making is every such a wonderful thing. No, actually it brings problems. We don't know what to do with it. How to spend the money. And then what will happen? You will engage in more sinful things with the same money for which you have worked so hard with that. So, but people are controlled by their own vasanas and karma. That you can't stop it also. So what we are saying here is that the chittasya shuddhi shuddhaye karmam. Karmam will only help you to purify inside. If it is executed as karma yogam. Nadu vastuba labdhaye. The truth won't get to you by executing karma yogam in that way. Vastu siddhi vijarena. That will only happen by accepting the authority of the higher knowledge of the Vedas, the Upanishads, and reflecting on that. Vastu siddhi vijarena. Na kinjil karma kodibi. Even in crores and crores of karma you execute in this world, the truth will not happen or control, will not be revealed. So, one of the rules related to this karma is, there is a rule behind it, chalana niyamam, it's called, chalanam is karma. Chalana means the movement what it started, karma, the rule is like this. For anything to happen, any karma to be done in this world, there has to be a foundation for, or a basis for that. For example, if you take a train is moving on the ground, which means Mother Earth is his movement, the foundation, isn't it? Mother Earth is the foundation. And second thing, if you take the same example as a train, energy is required to move it from one point to another point. You require energy to move it from one point to another. So this is the rule in the movement of karma, execution of karma. So karma by nature requires energy to execute karma. Without this, you can't execute karma, isn't it? That's one rule. Secondly, all karma is executed under the background of something, as a basis behind it. Anything if you take, it is like that. That there is something supporting you in your execution of karma. This you can reflect on in different levels. What is going on in this world, how people engage in different work. But you will see there is something behind on which only you can execute karma. You can't execute karma in vacuum. It's not possible. That means there is a foundation or basis behind everything on which you can execute the karma. And also to execute karma, you require the energy. So karma, and this karma by nature is jadam. We are coming to the important part of it now. Karmam by nature is jadam. Please understand why it is so. We do some karmam in this world. Say for example, I take this watch from here, remove it and keep it there. A karmam I have executed, isn't it? A thought occurred into my mind. I decided to take this watch, remove the strap and put the watch there. In order to do that, I have to recognize the fact that I am not totally independent, isn't it? I am doing this because my hands are capable of doing that. The hands are functioning because Krishna is present inside. Yeah? Krishna is present inside, and Krishna's presence, in the presence of Krishna, all these things are working. Yeah? All these things are working because of presence of Krishna inside. Krishna means the soul inside. Due to presence of whom, all the limbs in the body are working, the blood is circulating, the food is getting digested. In none of these things, I have no ownership. And because Krishna is there and Krishna is doing all these things, I can perform this karma. So, Krishna is asking that you are able to do any karma in my presence only. Isn't it? So, how do you say that you should get the result? You have not done it totally independent. You didn't execute any karma in this world completely independent. You are totally dependent on me to do everything for you, for to even to maintain this tool called body. It's able to function only because of me supplying you the energy for that. Why Krishna is supplying the energy? For example, we take the food. I'm not too bothered who is going to digest it, isn't it? I don't worry about it. Will it be digested or not? And I can't do anything about it either. Digestion is happening. Krishna is doing the digestion for me as Vaishvanara, isn't it? Vaishvanara is the fire of digestion inside. Aham Vaishvanara Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashridam. All living entities are dependent on me for their food digestion, Krishna is saying here. And I am Vaishvanara in them digesting the food. If it is like that, Krishna says, where is your input into it, into this karma? Your input is so small compared to my input. That's Krishna. Krishna is not arguing with us. Krishna is making us aware of it, this problem. Similarly, blood circulation inside, heartbeat, all these things are under Krishna's control, not in our control, isn't it? When I go to sleep, I don't worry whether the heart will beat throughout when I am sleeping, do I? When I wake up in the morning, it's still beating. And only I have to worry about is it still beating or not. Even that I don't worry, because you need to worry, you need the beating going on. Otherwise there won't be any worry also either. To such a level, we are under Krishna's control. Yeah? And we don't recognize any of these things when we are engaged in activity. Isn't it? We are not so many big things these big men are doing in this world. And they don't even for a second think who supplied them this ability and energy to do this activity. So Krishna's point is, any karma in executed, I am the major factor, not you. Not you. We are thinking that I've done this. You have only started somewhere at the very end of the road you have come in. And you started doing some mess around with it and create a lot of problems for everyone without knowing anything about it. But think in this way. If you want to clap your hands like this, I have got a right to clap, but the sound will only come out if Krishna wants the sound to come out from that. Isn't it? So it's the same principle here. Karmam, we have a right to do karmam. This is the reason why Krishna is saying in the next sutram, that you have no right to expect the results. Because you are not the one who have really executed the karma. You are able to execute the karma because of my presence in you, and I allowed you to do it, and I gave you all the support what you need to do it. And you just did the finally last minute, you come, all the feast is completely cooked, right? And somebody comes to the last minute, takes all the things, all the prasadam, and starts serving everybody and says, oh, I've done the feast for everyone today. If he says like that, what does it mean? It's exactly the same thing. Say, a mother is cooking in the kitchen. Now she has cooked various sabjis and she has used the spoon to stir the different sabjis, right? Now when the feast is served, the spoon is telling everybody, I cooked everything. It is like that, our position in this. Yeah, we are just like a spoon in this whole thing. In this whole thing, we are just a spoon, that's all. And if the spoon start claiming that spoon did all the job, spoon couldn't do anything on its own, could it? Spoon was lying there. But somebody else came and took the spoon and used it properly, and the results came out in the form of a feast, right? So Krishna's point is this, that try to understand where you stand in this cycle of karma. This is called the cycle of karma. Karma begins from inside, as we see, but all the ingredients and source, energy, everything is coming from Krishna. Without Krishna's approval, without Krishna's sanction, nothing can happen. So, while studying Karma Yoga, this one important aspect should be borne in mind all the time. You are not free in anything. Everything is happening because of Krishna's presence inside. So therefore, if you say karmam is jadam. Jadam means a dead thing. What makes karmam karmam alive, lively? It is because of Krishna's presence inside. Suppose Krishna was not involved and he told us to do everything. You do what you like. We won't be able to do anything, would it? So what makes karmam lively is Krishna's presence inside. Chaitanyam. The Chaitanyam inside is making the karmam lively. Otherwise, karmam is a jadam, dead thing it is. It cannot do anything on its own. That is the most important point. So, that because karmam is jadam, that and only we have the capacity, human society has got the capacity to make this karma as a yajnam. Yajnam means a sacrifice. Yeah. This one possibility of using karma to make it a yajnam or a sacrifice is only possible in the human body. No other planet's karma is there. It's not there in the heavenly planets, not there in the hellish planets. There you are only meant to enjoy the results what you have done here. And in the lower planets also the same thing. So in other words, out of the three planetary systems of the upper, lower, middle and the lower, only in the middle planets, particularly in planet Earth, the Bhumi, earthly planet, you have this thing called karma. In other words, this is the place where you prepare for your next life, in upper or in the lower planets, or here, you come back again. So all the preparatory work is kept here. In other words, this is the control point from all of our future is decided here, in this place itself where we are now. So, because of that, Arjuna was told by Krishna that karma you have to execute. You have to execute, you have no way. But make it a sacrifice at least, so that this won't bind you. This karma mandalam, what is known as karma mandalam. Karma mandalam is one of the most powerful. Once you break out of this karma mandalam or karma chakram, you are released then. Then you are not worried about anything. After that, you are going back to the spiritual world. But karma mandalam is that is what is holding us back in this. And karma mandalam is a very subtle thing. It is not a thing which you can see, but in a subtle level, it keeps us within the control of that, of this karma, isn't it? So breaking off from this karma mandalam is what is karma yogam. Karma yogam is the first step in that direction. So Arjuna made his fight in the battle a yajnam. Karma yogam, he made his karma into a yajnam by Krishna's help. Daksha Prajapati in the Bhagavadam, he made his yajnam a karma, the other way. That's why all these stories in the Bhagavadam for, to tell us the importance of karma. Daksha Prajapati was supposed to be executing a great sacrifice, which means a yajnam, isn't it? And that yajnam ended up in a disaster at the end. Why? Because he executed that yajnam in such a way, it was not a karma yogam. Results has to be offered to the Lord. Whereas what did he do? He offended Lord Shiva in that sacrifice. And the result of that, he lost his head at the end and he has to walk around with a goat's head for a long period of time. Isn't it? So, a yajnam can become karmam and a karmam can become a yajnam also, depending on how it is done. So, how it's done is more important than what you have done, actually. This is the point what we have to learn from here. Arjuna, although he was fighting, which is considered to be a very full of violence, isn't it? And that has become a yajnam for Arjuna, because Krishna has guided him through it properly. It was done for pleasing Krishna. And without expectation of any results, Arjuna fought the war completely under Krishna's guidance. And therefore, that war, although it was full of violence, everything, it turned out to be beneficial to Arjuna. Daksha Prajapati was performing a sacrifice to please the Lord, but because the mood was wrong and false understanding, without caring for the Supreme Lord and Supreme Lord's devotees, he did that eventually it ended up as a disaster for him. Purely it has become a real karma, in other words. Karma means it's not a good thing. Karma means you are caught up in that, in other words. Daksha Prajapati had to pay the price for it. So, the thing here is that the karma, only the human being can execute karma, like Arjuna's case. And if we recognize this truth, that all karma is executed under Krishna's control. If we execute that, then Krishna is saying that you are offered the results to me. For the results to me. You will be satisfied with what you get in this world. Otherwise, the second sutram is like that. The first, second sutram, you have no right in the results. When Krishna says like that, this is what Krishna means by that. Krishna is not saying to us, don't accept the salary from the office. Krishna never said like that. Because if Krishna is only bothered about the factory work and the salary, then Bhagavad Gita, we may as well pack it up.
Bhagavad Gita was not spoken for the factory worker and the office worker only, or for anybody like that. So, Bhagavad Gita was spoken for the whole human beings to understand from a higher level what life is all about, isn't it? So here, Krishna's point is this. The moment you recognize, karma is not possible without Chaitanyam behind it, Krishna behind it. No karma is possible in this world, no matter who it is. Whether it is Obama, Gordon Brown, Manmohan Singh, or any big scientist, or anyone. Whoever is thinking they are doing this, and they must get these results, they are all fools as far as Krishna is concerned. Because all these people whom we are referring to, they are all able to function because inside Krishna is present in them, allowing them to do these things according to their desire and vasanas. They are allowed to do that. So should they not also recognize the same thing, what Krishna is saying? But they don't. That's the problem. They don't recognize it, and therefore they have all these problems also, one after the other coming again. If all these big men have accepted this principle, Karma Sutram of the second one, that where Krishna says this, karmam is jadam, what makes it chaitanyam is Krishna's presence inside. That. So, karmam is jadam, and therefore Krishna says that by Krishna's desire, only the results will come. The results will come according to Krishna's desire. Then every karmam happens in this world in the presence of Chaitanyam, in the presence of that living force inside. All karmam happens in this world. Simpler examples is, just like a fan, you switch on a fan starts rotating, isn't it? If the fan thinks I'm rotating on my own, that is independence. But only due to the presence of electricity, the fan is able to rotate. Isn't it? Fan is able to rotate due to the presence of electricity. Similarly, all karma in this world is happening only because of presence of Krishna there. In Krishna's presence, all the karma in this creation happens. The whole creation. Not only the factory work, car manufacturing or computer work. No. Whole karma is happening in this world because of Krishna's presence behind it. That. So, nahi kaschil kshanamabi jati tashta tyakarmakral. Krishna will stress this point in the third chapter if you look into the verse 5. What does Krishna say there? These things, second and third chapter from now on, are very closely connected. Nahi kaschil kshanamabi jati tashta tyakarmakral. Karmani. Karyade avashak karma. Sarva Pragadijair Gunehi. See that verse? Nahi kaschil kshanamavi jadudushta tyakarmakral karyade yavasha karma sarva pragadijair gunehi. Translation. All men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So is the control. So good is the control. That we are simply saying that I did this, I did that, and you see, if the fundamentals are understood properly, and if they are accepted properly, a lot of misunderstanding will go from our mind. That karma is only happening because Krishna is saying here, there everybody is acting, nahi kaschil kshanamabi jadu dishtati akarmakral, that not even a second they can stay away from karma. Karyadehi havasha karma sarvai prakritijair gunaihi, that everything is happening. No one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment, because they are all acting helplessly under the modes of material nature. So that has been spoken like that in that chapter. So coming back to this verse again, Karmanam. So see, now we have spoken about the first sutra. What is that? Karmaneva adhikaraste. You have got the right to do the karma. And we saw also what karma means, the five kinds of activities which are related to karma, and the four kinds of things that comes from the karma: utpadyam, vaigaryam, and also samskaryam and ajyam. So the four things that will come out of karma. And karma comes from the chalanam. Chalanam requires a basis or a background on which it can happen, and also energy to execute the karma.
Karma means a jadam.
So, if we recognize this truth, that in absence of Krishna, no karma can be executed. That's the first thing before we entering into any karma to execute. And if we recognize that truth, then the desire for results also will go away from inside. Today, we are feeling the desire for results so strongly because we think we are doing the work. That is why the results are important for us. But if we accept this principle, which is not easy to take it on board, because our mind goes away from this, forget, because we don't see Krishna, we think we have got a right to get the results, and we start acting on that basis. So, Krishna's point is that in the absence of that consciousness, when we say Krishna, you must remember that is we are talking about the soul, and soul means consciousness, and in the absence of that consciousness, no bodily limbs can operate, isn't it? So the background is Krishna in everything. Krishna is the background. So once we recognize that, no karma can happen in this world in his absence, in Krishna's absence. So this also brings another point. Sometimes when we do things, we think that nobody is noticing it. So there, that idea Krishna has smashed here straight away by telling us that if you try to do something without me, you won't be able to do it. If you think that I have not noticed it, don't be the fool, he says. Don't foolishly think that you can. Some instances we do that, isn't it? We look for a shortcut in some states in life. Some places we do. At that time we forget all these things. That is our independence in us. That how to act in it. And similarly in everything in life, if these things are in the, then we won't go in the wrong way. We won't act in the wrong way. Because this understanding is not there inside, what happens is we can twist and tweak here and there and do things what we want and becomes a very selfish affair in life. And therefore, you can see how important this verse is, to understand this verse properly, that unless in Krishna's presence all karma is executed. So if the hands and the legs and the eyes and the senses are all getting their energy to execute any karma in this world, behind that it is Krishna. So if we think that we can do any karma in Krishna's absence, it is impossible. It's not possible. And therefore, the witness is Krishna. For all karma, witness is Krishna. So when people do wrong things, they are only doing it in ignorance. That's the only reason behind it. So therefore, we shouldn't feel too heavy about it. Person is ignorant, what can you do? Yeah. He's not doing out of his smartness. He's ignorant basically. It's ignorance in a person who forces to act in the wrong way, to break the law. The law is clear. Krishna says the law here. And if we don't accept the law and do things, it's only purely due to ignorance. So, Krishna says here, Ma Bhaleshu, this is for reason only. Krishna says if you recognize this point, then you won't desire the results. You won't become too fussy about the results. So, and Krishna says there, in the third one, you are not responsible for the result. You are not responsible for the result. So, what does it mean? You are not responsible for the results. So, in while Bhagavad Gita was spoken also, Krishna sent this, at one point Krishna had to bluntly say this to Arjuna. If you remember, in the universal form, when Krishna showed the form to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. You are just a cause in this. I am the person who is doing it. You are just happen to be here as a part of it. That's all. Nothing more than that. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. You just become a tool in that process. I've already set the law. I already know what's going to happen afterwards. And if you cooperate and become a tool in my hands, that is your credit. That's your credit. That will come later in the Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin, he says to Arjuna. So, in any karma, if you have to take pride that you have done that,
then first thing we have to accept this. What is that? I've eaten food. Who did the digestion? Because this body is able to execute karma only because of the body is there, isn't it? That's why you're able to execute karma. Then you have to ask the question, when you ate the food, who digested the food? Who made the kidneys to function properly? Who allowed the blood to circulate inside? Who allowed the breathing to happen continuously? Who allowed all the nerves to function? So keep on looking at your own body and you start thinking how much influence you had in all these activities. The moment you start looking at it, you start thinking you had nothing to do with any of these things. It was all happening on its own. But only the false ego is very strong inside, thinking that I am the doer behind everything. By whose encouragement I am doing everything, and in absence of which I can't do anything in this world. In the absence of all these things, you cannot do anything. So Krishna says here, while executing any karma in this world, don't forget about this one factor, that by whose presence you are executing the karma. In whose presence all this karma is happening, all this movement, samasta chalanam it says. Chalanam is karma. So under whose presence all these things are happening, if you recognize that point, if you accept that, Krishna says, then your karma will never be bound. You will not bound. That's the only way you can come out of the effect of karma. If you recognize this point, that in Krishna's presence all karma is happening in this world, then you won't be bound. You won't be bound. So karma can be used as a tool to advance spiritually, provided you understand it properly and live accordingly. But on the other hand, if you start thinking that karma, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, in that way if you execute karma, it will only bind us more to this world. Now, in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will see a verse there, 7th chapter. It's called Bhumi Rapanilo Vayu Khammano Buddhi Devaja Ahangara Idiyame Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. I don't know what the verse number is. It's in the beginning, sir. 4, is it? Yeah. Bhumi Rapanilo Vayu Khammano Buddhi Devaja Ahangara Idiyame Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. You know? So this verse has something to do with the karma side. Bhagavad Gita is so interwoven between chapter to chapter, verse to verse and all. There's still a lot of connections between all these things. That's why we say not to pull out one verse and on basis of that you start presenting something, it causes problem. So here, Krishna says here, Vinna Prakriti Ashtada, 8 things, isn't it? Bhumi, Apam, Analo, Vayu, Kham. What are the 5 material elements? Earth, water, air, ether and fire. Bhumi, Abham, Analo, Vayu, Kham. 5 things. Then, Mano, Buddhi, and Ahangaram. Plus 3. So, total 5 plus 3, 8. 5 plus 3, 8. So, Bhumi, Ramanalo, Vayu, Kham, Mano, Buddhi, Revaja, Ahangaram. In Idiyame, Bhinna, Prakriti, Ashtatha. Krishna says, my inferior nature or the material nature consists of these 8 things. Consists of these 8 things. This 8 is important. Why? You will see in the Shastram in different places is 8 coming up all the time. Why? Because of these 8 things mentioned there. If you look in the Bhagavatam, these things, there's a lot of connections in this way. Krishna had 16,108 wives. Isn't it? So these 8 wives are the official wives, Krishna's wives, isn't it? They are properly married and brought them. The other 16,000 and 16,100 were brought in from Naragasura's prison. Because they were in a difficult situation, Krishna says, you also come and stay in Dwaraka, and they were brought in there. But the 8 were married in the official way, as we call it, isn't it? The proper way the marriage was happened. Why 8? That's question. These 8 elements and these 8 wives is very much similar. In the sense that it is through these 8 elements
Krishna runs the whole show. Isn't it? These eight elements are responsible for that. So, you will also notice there that after marriage, the 16,108 wives, Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Krishna's householder life once. This story is there in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Everybody knows that. So, when Sri Narada Maharshi moved around in Dwaraka, the intention was that how does Krishna run his householder life? And people were speaking about it that Krishna cannot manage 16,108 wives. In each house, Krishna has built 16,108 palaces, and from each wife he had 10 sons and a daughter. Each wife. Krishna's householder life is well known, isn't it? It's nobody can live a householder life like the way Krishna has lived. That is the power of the Supreme Truth, Absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's role. So when Sri Narada Maharshi went there to see in each house Krishna, he saw Krishna there, isn't it? It's a beautiful description in the Bhagavatam. In some places Krishna was feeding the children. In some places Krishna was helping the wife to cook. In some places Krishna was playing with Satyabhama the chess. In another place Krishna was bathing the horses. In another place Krishna was preparing to go to office in his chariot. In another place Krishna was performing the marriage. There's a number of things mentioned there. If you want to mention all the 16,100, it is unlimited. But not all are mentioned. But quite a lot is mentioned there. Very important ones. In other words, to show to us that Krishna was present everywhere doing something or the other. And Narada Maharshi noticed this thing, that Krishna can manage 16,108 wives without any difficulty. Why is this story in the Bhagavatam? This story has been spoken to tell us that these eight elements which are present in the Bhagavad Gita, which is mentioned as Bhina Prakriti Rashtatha, Krishna's presence in everything is important, and Krishna is present everywhere in all karma. This is what Narada Maharshi came back and reported at the end. He said, my illusion has gone. In other words, through that story, he is telling us that without Krishna's presence, nothing can happen, and Krishna is present everywhere. This was convinced, Narada Maharshi got convinced after that visit. So, if all 16,108 wives were functioning under Krishna's presence, the question comes up, is there not the whole creation functioning under Krishna's presence? You can understand that easily, isn't it? That the person who married 16,108 wives and he was present there in all their activities. Through that pastime, we also have to understand that the whole creation, Krishna's presence is to be recognized. There is no question to keep Krishna out of it in anything in this world. It's impossible. And only to convince us that point, that pastime has been spoken there. That importance of Krishna's presence in everything. So the 16,108 wives, which was that the relationship is like this. Sri Narada Maharshi, when we refer to what it means, is Narada Maharshi means Brahma Vidya. Naram Dadadi Iti Narada. This is the definition of Sri Narada Maharshi. Then one who gives transcendental knowledge. Sri Narada Maharshi. Though he gone around in all the houses and he saw Krishna everywhere. This is the general truth. So, in other words, by experimenting also, Narada Maharshi found out that Krishna is present in everything. Krishna is present in everything. So, through that pastime, if we look into the world now, you can see if Krishna's presence, all those things can happen. These things cannot happen without Krishna's presence in this world. This is the important point to learn from there. So ultimately, if you look into all the elements in this world, all creation and everything in this world, the final result you get out of that is also Krishna, nothing else. Only Krishna exists, in other words. This is the tattvam behind it, tattvika side of it. The other is a pastime in the Bhagavatam there, but this is the tattvam to learn from that. So you have to combine both. Not that the pastimes are wrong, pastimes are all truth, they are all facts. But there is, through that pastime, Vedavyas wants to convey some message to us also. Message also is important. You can't ignore the message as much as you can't ignore the pastime either. Pastime is correct. Pastime is important. It was not some story made up or anything. But through, when Krishna comes here, many, many pastimes have happened. Similarly, Rasa dance, everything. All there are real facts of life. But through all that pastimes, Krishna just didn't come to do them and go away. But through that, some message to the society also, human beings to understand. And Vedavyasa Maharshi used those pastimes to get us that message to us. That's all it is. So, so if we recognize that, it is Bodhasatta. Bodhasatta means Krishna, present in everything, in the form of consciousness. The soul is present in the form of consciousness, everything. That is the background in which all karma is happening. All karma is executed in the background of this consciousness. Then, so, we have seen there that when we were sent to this world, we can see that first Krishna has made our hands and legs to function properly. And therefore, we can execute the karma. And therefore, the important thing here is that because Krishna has given the energy to do it, we should do it without any hesitation. Our nature is that as soon as we find somebody else who can do the job, we pass it on to him. He says, "Now you do it. I'll just manage you. I'll just sit here and tell you what to do." Isn't it? That's not a good thing. Because, in situations, people have to cooperate. Everybody has some karma to do. But at the same time, Krishna's point is that, and Krishna, by example, never wanted others to do for Krishna. Krishna did everything what he has to do. In every level, he himself did everything. So long as Krishna is present inside and allow us to do the karma, Krishna says you should do the karma. You should not withdraw from the karma. Withdrawing from karma is not a thing which Krishna has approved any time. It is only Krishna who has spoken like this. All other previous teachers, many of them have spoken from a question of giving up karma, going away and all that. But Krishna has never approved that. So that is why in the fourth one, Krishna says, Made Sangostu Agarmani. You cannot stay free from karma. Karma is always there. Then the Agarmanata. Now we will come to the point. When something happens in life, we say, it's your karma bhalam, isn't it? It's your karma. Yeah. When do we say that? When some reverse results comes, then we say that. Only then you say this. Oh, Prabhu, it's your karma, that's why you can't do anything about it. So, if you see those things, and if you see the background in which karma yogam was spoken, you can see the difference there. Isn't it? It's a huge difference. When Krishna is talking about karma yogam, he is speaking from another position. When we talk about karma and karma phalam, what suits us based on reversal of results in life. That's where we, because by saying like that, we are taking a sort of a shelter of that to peace, make peace within ourselves, isn't it? To bring some peace within ourselves, we say like that. And great, great souls, personalities, when they execute karma, they don't bother what the results come. What the results come from that, they don't bother about it. Why? Because if they start, they have working in this understanding that results are in Krishna's hands. It's not my worry. It's not my worry. And karmanne va adhikaraste, I have only got to do my right to do the work. And ma bhaleshu kadanya, results are my ma karma bhalahedubur ma de sangos tagarmani. That I am not the person who decide what results should come. That they know. They also know that whatever results come, they are not responsible for that. Four sutras, if you study deeply and keep that in the front, execution of karma becomes a lot easier in this world. And that will also relieve you from a lot of stress in this life. That's another important point. Imagine somebody has to do a lot of work in this world and the results don't turn out well, and even if the results have turned out, eventually after a while the whole thing gets completely disturbed in a different way, and because of that you have to withdraw from the field of work and go away,
all this problem happens because of the absence of this knowledge. If this knowledge is clear inside, take for example any great personality, when they have acted in this world, coming from the Vedic tradition, you will notice that they have acted with this understanding inside. With this understanding inside. When they are executing karmam, they know very well that I am doing this because my vasanas and somebody else is controlling me to do this work, in that understanding. And what results come out of it, I cannot desire anything. Whatever that comes out of it, that is also in that higher force which is forcing me to do this particular way. Then, mahabaleshu kadajana, ma karma bhalahe durbhur. I am also not, my activity is not the cause of the result. Even that is, they are clear in their head. Then what else? Made sangos swakarmani. Whatever happens, I am not going to stay free from the karmam under any circumstances. So, these four sutras are very important sutras in relationship with karmam. And because of this only, you may wonder sometimes when some of the, particularly those who are working in the field of in the spiritual life, and when you are engaged in so many activities to help others, if they don't have this understanding, it will be very difficult for them to work. That's why they are trying to uplift the society and bring Krishna consciousness to them. And when they are doing it, if this understanding is not inside, they will suffer. They'll break down at some point. They'll have to go. They'll have to leave and go. So this, with this understanding, if those karmam is executed, whatever karmam they are executing in that way, then they will not be confused. That will only purify them. It will purify those people who are doing in that way. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way. It always happens in another way. So Karma Yoga is an important chapter. And this Karma Sutram, four sutras what we have discussed, Karmanneva Adhikaraste, all we are allowed is to do karma. Ma Bhaleshu Kadachana, we have no right to desire any particular results from the karma. Ma Karma Bhalahe Durbhur, karma, whatever results are coming from our karma is not, I am not responsible for that. Although I have done it under the guidance of the superior force, the energy behind me, Chaitanyam inside, I have done the karma, ma karma balahe durbho. I am not the cause of the results of the karma. Made sangos swakarmani. I cannot stay away from karma even for a second. These are the four sutras. Now, you can see here, ma karma balahe durbho. For example, the cause of this karma, when we have discussed, Krishna says, you are not responsible. You are definitely not responsible for your karma. Why? Why is it spoken like that? Take for example, Krishna says in this world, so many things happen. Will you take responsibility for that? So for example, the moonshine, these are one or two examples, moonshine, that affects the growth of the food, vegetables, and farmers recognize that, isn't it? Moonshine has an impact on the moonlight, the moon has impact on the growth of the plants and vegetables. So there is, you have nothing to do with that. When the vegetables are growing in the garden, you are taking pride from that, saying that this has come out because I put the right manure for that, or this or that, so many things. So none of your karma is completely independent. None of the karma is completely independent. Any activity, if you take and analyze it, you will see in this way that there is other things which impacts your results. Which in fact is not purely your effort that brings the results. Just for example, you know this tide happens in the sea, high tide and low tide. Suppose you have got cut in your finger or body somewhere, injury happens. If it is a time of high tide, the blood comes out much powerfully from inside. So there is some connection with that, high tide and low tide, with the blood flow in the body, which is not noticeable for us, you can't prove it, but all doctors agree that there is some connection with that, with the body. So everything in this creation are all interconnected through karma, in some way or the other. So therefore Krishna says, ma karma balahe durbho. You are not alone the cause of the results. The cause of the results, what is happening in any karma, there are many, many factors involved in that. That is the point Krishna is trying to point out to us. So, if you accept that, Bodhapurvam, I say here, that if you keep on thinking that you are the cause of the result, Krishna is warning us there. If you keep on thinking it is you are the cause of the results, what it will do is, inside your mind, it will create a crisis all the time. All the time it will create a crisis. Oh, I did this, but it didn't happen. Why? This is a crisis inside. And this crisis, Krishna is saying, is happening only because you have taken this misunderstanding, that you are the cause of your own results. So therefore, he warns in that third line, Ma karma balahe durbho. You are not the cause. So once you have given up that, you are freed from the results of karma. And it becomes more of a karma yoga. And karma yoga is a big chapter to discuss. So with today we finish this. We have been here now 30 days discussing the second chapter. So what we'll do when I come back from India, hopefully we'll finish this into another 2 or probably 3 weeks maximum, maybe 2 weeks time. We should be able to finish the remaining verses. There you will see the connection between karmam and how karmam has to be right before sthita prajnatvam comes. That we will talk about that. And from vyasayalpamiya buddhi, control of karmam eventually leads to sthita prajnatvam, and sthita prajnatvam state, what happens to a person, and how purification inside is important for that to reach that state of consciousness, Krishna says. And then Krishna takes us to the third chapter. So I'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.